Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Willie Lawson Show. We've been away for about 2-3 days. And we're back now. Thanks so much for coming to the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. We are back on Red State Talk Radio thanks to the good graces of Primo Mardone. And even though Friday the show kind of exploded, but we worked it out. So if you are wondering why there are two Friday shows and why they seem amazingly similar, just some things are in different places, and then there's some content on the hour show, the more rigorously timed show that isn't on the other show. Well, it's because that's what happened, and we fixed it. So we got two for the price of one. crap happens. It does, and you know what? And like everyone always says, and I believe this to be true, it's not what doesn't work. It's what works. That's the deal. It's not what doesn't work. It's what works. That's the deal. How you fix it. Doesn't matter that you fell down. You know, it matters that you got up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's all about as far as I can, you know, as far as I can go. As long as you get up, life is good. That's all that matters. Hey, listen, we got to start the show off with an awful story. In Ohio this morning at about 7, there was a school shooting, and where one student is dead. I believe that five were shot, and one has indeed passed away. And we're going to get the particulars of that here in just a few. But before we do, it just seems. It's always sad when the life of a young person is ended, and especially in such a senseless, horrible fashion. You know, it's hard enough when we have a young person who has some awful disease that dies. I mean, it's awful enough when there is an accident, you know, when there's an automobile accident or something happens and a young person dies. But when we have when we have school shootings where you know what, we are still, you know what, we, you know, the reason this bothers us, frankly, is because we still live in a place, we still live in a world that we think that one of the better places that we can put kids is school. We send them to school. As a matter of fact, most of us are good with laws that force our kids to go to school. I mean, that force parents to send their kids to school. I mean, that doesn't seem beyond the pale to me. To most of us, it doesn't seem like it's too much of an invasion of our rights to make kids go to school. You know, a lot of us who are older remember the whole truant officer thing, where that if you know what, you didn't go to school, the truant officer would find you and pick you up and take your butt to school, tell your parents. So you know. When we're talking about sending our kids to school, you know, in our minds, we still think that we're sending our kids off to a safe place. Yeah, there's the bully there, you know, or whatever, and occasional fight or whatever, or you know, an accident. But we really of the mind that we're sending our kids off to somewhere safe. I can't even imagine. Yeah, my kid went to private school K through 8, and then went to public school for 9 through 12. I can't even imagine getting that. What it would be like what it would be like to get that phone call if there was a shooting at your son's school and your son's been injured or your daughter's been injured. I mean, I just can't even imagine. Again, it's one of those things where it just doesn't, it just doesn't compute. And it's, you know what's interesting? It always seems to happen. And because of our, you know, we're basically naive folks. We're still fairly naive. It happens in places we thought it would never happen. The CNN story is a gunman wounded 5 students, one of them fatally, at a suburban Cleveland high school Monday morning before apparently being chased out of the building by a teacher. Police said at a news conference the Chardon High School shooting suspect, believed to be a student, according to school official, was in custody after turning himself in to bystanders, police said. 2 students injured in the shooting, one boy and one girl, were taken to Hillcrest Hospital. Spokesman Heather Phillips said one was in serious condition, the other in stable condition. 3 students were taken by helicopter to Metro Health Medical Center. Hospital Representative Shannon Mortland said in a statement, Mortland did not provide details of their condition. It was unclear where the fatally wounded student had been taken. A student at Chardon High, Evan Iramas, told CNN affiliate WEWS that the victims might have been students in the school, at a school in a nearby Auburn, Ohio, waiting for a bus to take them there. He said that the suspect may have posted a threatening message on the social networking service Twitter before the shooting. I think he said he was going to bring a gun to school, and I think that everyone just blew it off like he was joking, Aramis said. The police recovered a handgun and gave it to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and explosives for examination. A law enforcement source said that the county sheriff's office and federal agents were executing search warrants in this case, but the official did not provide locations. One student said to CNN affiliate, WKYC, that he heard that he thought at first it was firecrackers, and then he saw a bunch of people running out, and so I started running, said the student, whose name was not available. I heard someone yell behind me, "Get down." The boy's mother said she was terrified. I just dropped him off at the school, and not even 10 minutes later, I got a text from him saying it was a shooting at the school. Investigators took over the school Monday morning and were collecting evidence as students had been evacuated to a nearby Maple Elementary School. He declined to say how authorities learned of the shooting. It's amazing, and our hearts and minds go out to the folks at this high school in this town. Because this is the kind of stuff that it takes a long time for, and not just for the individuals, but a town to recover from. It takes a long time for them to recover from. You know, we got all this other stuff going on, but it takes a while. So we'll see. Listen, we're going to take a call here before we go to break. We're gonna extend the break a little bit, move the schedule around a little bit today and take this call. Good morning, brother. What's going on?
Hey, what's up there, Brother Lawson?
It's good. It's good. It's a good day. It's a good day, except for this horrible thing that happened in Ohio this morning. You know what? My son's 21, and he went to a public school. You know, the last, you know, from 9 through 12.
Right.
And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine getting that phone call that said, where they were supposed to be, and then this happened. That would just be it would just be beyond belief.
Yeah, and I think it. I think it's just a symptom of the culture, unfortunately.
It is.
It's because the liberals will blame the gun, but I say it was the immoral act, the lack of moral discipline that's in our culture.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Blaming the birth control is not, blaming the pill is not the issue. It's the immoral act in the first place.
Exactly.
People are dying from within, and those are just symptoms of something deeper. Excuse me, in our culture. And before I forget, what I'd like to do is just give you my phone number and you can call me after the show.
Okay. I'll write this down. Say it fast.
Yes, sir.
No, no, no.
Well,
you don't
know
have
the
to.
Area code.
No, you don't have
five,
to.
Four,
no, no, no. Don't give it to me. You've got are the last four digits 8615?
Right.
Okay, I got it. I got it right here.
5-4-5-4-3.
I got it right here. I don't want you to broadcast your phone number to the free world.
hey, you know, liberals will love me. Don't worry about it.
Dude, we take.
They're welcome to call. They need
we take
rehab.
Too much abuse
though.
As it is. I mean, we shouldn't be calling. I got it. All right. As soon as I'm done at 2 o'clock, I'll give you a call.
Yeah, this way we can kind of break some bread here because my dispatcher is saying, look, he wants to get started. This is a good man. He's 80 years old, mind you.
Awesome.
And he said he's never seen the country in this kind of shape.
That's what I hear from him. You know, we hear that from some of our older citizens all the time. They've never seen, you know, and they wonder, you know, if we could pull it together. I mean, they've seen World War II, a lot of them. They've
yeah.
seen the Korean conflict. They've
yeah.
seen Vietnam. And they wonder mm-hmm. now if we could pull it together.
Yeah, well, because it's, you know what, I find fascinating, this is why I tell a lot of people on the right, you have to understand Obama. Forget about Obama. Obama is just a symptom of the culture because great powers die from within. Rome died from within. We're dying from within. Now, if the nation was of strong character, okay, physically fit, morally disciplined, Mr. Barack would have never seen daylight.
No.
If you ask the average Joe or the average zombie, does he think Obama's doing a good job? They'll tell you, yeah, which they're lying, but then they'll all of a sudden say, well, it's all George Bush's fault. Now, if that doesn't sum up what I'm talking about, it's obviously that is a moral decay because there's no rationale behind that. I mean, it goes beyond denial. There's no objective and honest person that can honestly say that this man's even doing an adequate job.
No.
And
we're stuck in this culture that if you say that he isn't, then because you're tagged with all sorts of other things, like you're a racist or you're an Uncle Tom or whatever.
Sure.
When the fact of the matter is, you know, for me, man, the racist view is this. If you can't look at me and say, Willie, he's either doing a good job or he's doing a poor job without seeing my color first, then maybe you're the person with the problem.
Well, exactly. Well, because here's the thing that drives me crazy. And you being another black conservative, you go through the same thing here. How can we sit here and fight against discrimination and all the foulness that our elders and our ancestors have went through, but yet we turn around and do the same things that we're fighting against? I keep going back and I keep trying to tell people this, right, explain this to people. If Martin Luther King Jr. was here, do you think he would be sitting under a pulpit with Jeremiah Wright? Now, when we're speaking among ourselves, they're kind of stuttering. They'll say, now, well, probably not. But no. See, when liberals can't admit to something, they have to talk real fast. They kind of get it out real fast. Yeah, but, oh, no. I asked you a question. Come on now. Take a deep breath. I want you to think. And I'm going to keep hammering this point, Will. If John McCain back in 2008 was sitting under a Jeremiah Wright, but only in a white version, would he or would he not have to drop out of the race?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
I mean, the second some of those videos come out, he'd have been done.
Exactly. So my question is, why, as a people that have gone through so much abuse, so much discrimination over the years, why do we turn around and sanction something that I look at? Forget about the politics for a minute here. I say this here, right? I break it down like this. Say you're a white guy, right? And I would hope that if we're friends and you really respect me, right, you wouldn't go to a Ku Klux Klan rally and then call me your friend.
Yeah, true.
Because
that.
There is no friendship there. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I agree.
And
I agree.
There's some kind of dysfunctional mess going on there.
Yeah, I mean, but I can't. I have some white friends, but I'm pretty sure of them that I'm pretty sure that the people who are in my inner circle aren't secretly, you know, attending, you know, Knights of the White Chameleon meeting or Aryan Nation meetings. I'm pretty sure that's not the case.
My point being, and we would expect that being friends.
Yes.
Just as one man to another man. Forget about the race. It comes down to a real mutual respect and admiration for each other. You just wouldn't do that. Now, flip the coin. Why is it tolerated that we can sit under Louis Farrakhan, we could sit under, or we can go to Black Panthers meetings and all this kind of stuff in reverse, and nobody says a blinking thing about it? Isn't that amazing? But we demand this respect.
You know what's interesting? It's interesting. I had somebody who locally supported me, and it was interesting. There's a woman in my town who basically is a she's just a person who likes to stir crap up. That's all she does. I don't think she has a place. But her job is just to stir crap up, frankly. And for some reason or another, she really bothers the person who was supporting me. And this person who was supporting me wanted me to really come out against this other woman. And I'm like, you know what? Here's the deal. I could, but it'd be for you, it'd be like pig wrestling. And so I decided I wasn't going to. And she was angry with me. I said, listen, why are you letting this other person and her connection with the new Black Panther Party and some other just heinous groups affect our relationship? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know what? You and I are friends. Me and her aren't necessarily friends. Obviously, we're not hanging in the same circle.
But
what you're saying is that it's amazing that people can't draw those distinctions anymore.
Isn't it amazing? Well, because this is one of the reasons why you and I bonded, because there's some moral consensus with us, and you have the character to quite frankly say what has to be said, that the average, I mean, I've had relatives. I mean, you know how we sit in private and we start talking, and it's just amazing that we can have this kind of moral clearance, if you will, to say and do whatever we want in reverse. But God forbid a Caucasian says this or say, I give you case in point. You know that Obama has a website saying blacks for Obama?
Yeah, or African American for Obama. We're actually
now,
going to.
Can you imagine if Mitt Romney did that?
White for Obama.
I mean, come on.
White for Romney, yeah.
We would burn, we would burn down the website. Oh, yada, 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 this is terrible. But yet we can turn around and have that moral authority, if you will, to do it. And I'm asking, why? I'm missing something. I'm stupid, so educate me. Well, I don't get it.
You know, it's interesting that, I mean, yeah, we're going to, I've got that on the board to talk about today. We're going to talk about that in the second half hour. But the idea, but this whole idea is of it's okay for me to do, but it's not okay for you to do. It keeps us, and this is what Black people don't like to hear, it keeps us in the role of children, because that's how children behave.
Exactly.
It keeps people looking at a race of people as if they were kids, as if they were children, because that's how children behave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And until there's some moral clarity that says, okay, so if the word nigger is beyond the pale and an ugly word, then you know what? Then it's an ugly word. And it's not just an ugly word for you to me or to you to each other. It's an ugly word. So we're going to try to replace it with something else. Or maybe we kind of have to try to get rid of it entirely because it's an ugly word, which means I can't walk up into a social situation, look at somebody black, jokingly call him a nigger, and then when the poor unsuspecting white fella who was just trying to fit in steps on the same land, you know, says the same word, suddenly he stepped on a landmine. That makes us look like kids.
Yeah,
Because my point is,
we have to stop acting like children, and you know what, and start developing again moral clarity. You know,
exactly.
I'm taking a break in a second, but you know what? One of my favorite comedians for all sorts of reasons was Richard Pryor. Yeah, he worked blue. He worked real blue. I get
it. Yeah, he was. That's okay.
But I love this timing, and I love this. Yeah. You know, I just love his delivery, and it's just from a pure comic sense, dude was genius. And he tells a story when he got back from Africa, his first trip from Africa, how when he and that's a funny, that whole bit's a funny bit when he's in the cab with the cab driver. Because he's wearing some, oh, it's hysterical. It's a great bit. But anyway, what he saw was, he saw black people being bankers. He saw black people working, you know, working everywhere. And they were bankers, and they were lawyers. And he said, you know what I didn't see? I didn't see any niggas. I didn't see one. And from then on, in every one of his bits, he never used the word again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never use the word again. Once he had a clear picture of what was possible, and he got out of the environment of the United States for a bit, he was changed. He never used it again. He was every bit as funny. He never used the word ever again in any of his bits.
Yeah, because this is my point, Will, is this. If we can just start having honest debates and start having some moral clarity here and discipline here, just maybe 90% of us wouldn't be voting liberal and Democrat. Okay? Because people that stand on principle, see, conservatives like ourselves, we don't have to race bait. We don't have to play the class warfare card because our principles are sound. Now, either you accept them or you don't, and that's your liberty as a citizen, American citizen. But I say to the left, the ones that are so, and what kills me with a lot of leftists, they're so morally superior. I know what's best for my minorities. And how dare you do this? And how dare you do that? How could you say something like that? That's racist and da, 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 da. But yet these folks have not, they can't point out the last thing they have done that has been positive for this great, great minorities. Hmm? You can't point out anything.
You know, somebody said it very simply. Well, if Democrats are for poor people and Republicans are for rich people, wouldn't you want to stand behind people who want you to be rich, not people who want you to be poor?
Exactly. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I say the more government and you, the more government did for poor, the more poor the person got. So don't you think that there's something wrong with that?
Well, that's the whole idea. You know what that mean? I mean, the whole idea is that if people aren't poor, then these people don't have a constituency. And what they're not going to do is put themselves out of business. And that is just the reality that, brother, the deal is that, and what the frustrating thing about it for you and I is that we know that black people know better. We know because we had conversations that are offline and our families that are quiet. We know.
We know
what the game is. Keep people broke. Keep people on the dole. Keep people attached to the umbilical cord of government. And that way you can control them for the rest of their lives. And that way the people at the top continue to make the money. Everybody knows that. That's the frustrating part. Everybody knows what the damn game is.
Yeah, and see, and here's the sad part about this whole thing, because liberals, especially the ones of well means, I always tell people, don't look at what a person says, but look at what they do. The quote-unquote liberalists of people, they're not going to live among you and I. They're going to live way in the woods because they don't have to look at us, statistically speaking, okay? So I tell people, you can say this, you can say that. I tell you what, when you can start marrying, I'm talking about a liberal person. Now, supposedly he's so morally superior than anybody else. When you can take his daughter home, then you can sit down and talk to me. I don't want to hear the mess because I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? That's always the proof in the pudding. You know, that's always the proof in the pudding. If my son shows up at your house and you take your daughter on a date, what your reaction is, is it? Do you in your heart have one of those guess who's coming to dinner moments?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's all. That's what matters to me. In your heart, do you have one of those Spencer Tracy moments where he's just not sure? I mean, and we watched that movie the other. We watched the movie that was on last week, and I'm telling you, because what's really funny is that the female lead in the characters, you know, I don't know, the guy who plays the priest, you know, and he tells Tracy's character, this is, you know what, you're bothered because you've been the big liberal Democrat all this time.
Yeah, it's so funny because
other people, but when it comes to your house, a different story.
Right, exactly. See, liberalism, we got an old saying here in New York. Liberals is the guy that hasn't got mugged yet. Liberals are the people that will integrate everybody's neighborhood but their own. And I'll give you a case in point. Now, you remember, you know, for whatever reason, Bill Clinton was supposedly the first black president, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Of the United States. Now, I ask you a question. Now, I mean, this is hypothetical. Let's just say, for example, Chelsea came home with a black man. I wonder what the reaction would be with Hillary and Bill. Because you just said, and you took the title on to say, yeah, I care for black people. I love black people, blah, 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 this and that. I wonder what would have happened. Where there was no microphone. No hidden
would they
cameras.
Have had a guess who's coming in a dinner moment in their house?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. You know what? I don't know. I mean, I would only be guessing, but it is an interesting question. Would they have had that moment in their house? You know, we got to take a break. But here's the deal. Here's my wife and I talk about this. Here's what's going to happen in our house. I'm going to tell you now, and people can believe me. What's going to happen in my house? My son's going to bring home this girl, and she's going to say, hola, mama, papa. That's what he's going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't know, every girl that this boy has been attracted to has been Mexican, Colombian, Puerto Rican, Cuban.
Yeah.
I'm like, son, he says, what? Isn't this what you taught us? I said, you know what? I just laugh because that's exactly what we taught him. And you know what? And he's doing exactly what we taught him. You know what? You like who you like. That's how it is.
And my point, I always told somebody would ask me that. I would say, look, I have one biological child. That's my daughter. As long as she doesn't bring home another woman, I could give a rat's tail, to be perfectly honest.
You don't bring home any girls. Somebody's going to get married. Yeah, do that. All right, man. Listen, I will give you a call as soon as I'm done in just a little bit. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to call on 508. Hang on for 4 minutes. We'll be right with you. Thanks for coming to the Wilmot Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader. Tutor or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew.
Wait.
Mom, what?
What? Hold
What'd
on.
What'd you say? Wait a second, come on.
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Far from the city where the Lorax roams free is the home of a magical truffula trees. They grow happy and healthy and thick as you please, just waiting for visits from yous and from me's.
Whoa.
In a place you will love with things you'll adore us, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Look, everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest. I speak to the trees.
Visit the animals. Come see the plants. From the mighty sequoia to the tiniest ants. Discover its beauty. Take time to relax. See brown barbalutes or even the Lorax.
I feel so alive. I just like hearing you say it.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more. Visit discovertheforest.org. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Will Watson Show here on Blood Talk Radio and Race Talk Radio Network. It's kind of an interesting show today. Trying to stay on format and failing, but that's okay. Again, welcome to the Will Watson Show. Again, the school shootings are an awful, awful thing. We understand that one of the students has indeed passed away, and our hearts go out to the families. That's just an awful thing. I can't even imagine. It is interesting. The president is starting up African Americans for Obama. I think that's an interesting thing. But before we get to that, there's a caller who I said if they would wait 4 minutes, I would take their call from the 508. Welcome to the Will Watson Show. Thanks for calling. How may we help you?
How you doing, Will? How's everything going?
It's good. Good, man. It's good. Things are good. It's a good day.
Well, the reason why I called in is I heard something that really kind of contradicts the message. Where I believe the previous caller said something to the effect of that liberals or progressives want to keep wages low, basically, keep you poor. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because it's really the progressives that have consistently pushed for a smaller income disparity or minimum wage increases. It's the conservatives who consistently say minimum wage will hurt the economy, so we can't raise minimum wage anywhere in this country. So,
well, but I don't hang on a second. It wasn't the call, it was me.
Okay.
The idea is, though, if you artificially raise wages, then there could be a crippling effect on business if you artificially raise them. And I use the example of the place that I'm sitting in right now. It's a small business. It's a music store and a fairly successful music store.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who owns the place has about 15 probably full-time employees. So we're not talking about, we're not talking about Guitar Center or one of those places. We talk about basically a mom and pop music store, a nice one, but basically a single owner music store. And every time that minimum wage in Florida goes up artificially, that means, when I say artificially, I mean that her minimum wage goes up not because her business has done better, but because the state of Florida says, or the federal government says, you got to pay folks more.
Right.
Her costs are increased artificially. That has a stifling effect.
I'm for
everybody making as much money as they possibly can. See, I don't want you to get this in the mix. I'm for everybody making as much money as they possibly can.
Right.
I am. Make the money. But when her costs go up artificially, cuts happen in other places. They have to. Because it's an artificial increase, not an organic increase. Like, hey, listen, you know what? We're doing really well, and I've got great employees, and they're busting their butt for me. And in order to keep to pay and to keep good employees, I have to pay them. That's a whole different mentality,
right?
Isn't it? Don't you think? Okay. So when you force people to do things, then you might have a more crippling effect.
But my original point was, how can you actually say liberals and progressives are for keeping people poor when we're the ones, progressives are the ones, who consistently say we need to raise the minimum wage? Because obviously, businesses, the two aspects of business is to limit or control costs as much as possible and maximize profitability. And that means you have to, at some point, you have to literally force a business to pay their employees more, because if they don't, they won't.
You see, but I don't believe. So that's where you and I, respectfully, have a big difference in our philosophy. I don't think you have to. I think that if a business like the business that I talked about just now does well and basically wants to keep good employees, they'll pay them. And
right.
Businesses do. They'll pay them. The company across the street will go, you know what? I tell you what, you guys are really good. Why don't you come work for me? And then we'll beat the crap off this skinflint over here who won't pay you.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying, but don't you believe that the more a person is paid, that's more disposable income they have, which makes the business more profitable.
But
in the end.
But you forget, I understand what you're saying, but on the other end, like my example here, if your costs are artificially raised, then that doesn't mean that people have more disposable income. It really doesn't, because what she has to do then to make up that difference is one of two things. She has to cut profit, which means she can't hire new people, she can't expand, or she has to raise prices. Which,
right.
You know, so if you make more and they charge more, you really haven't gained anything.
Well, I look at it in the aspect of how big are their profit margins. If they're making, just for an example, if they're making $2 million in profit, but they're paying minimum wage at $5 an hour.
Minimum wage is $5 an hour anywhere in the country.
Well, now, thanks to President Bush at the end of his term, he raised minimum wage. My point is that if you actually do that, the consumer has more money to spend in your business. But we're getting on an ideological bent debate that I didn't want to get into. My point was in contrast to your argument.
But this is what this is. At its core, that's what it is, isn't it?
No, actually, what you said was you said that progressives and liberals want to keep people poor, when that is objectively false, considering that we want to raise, we're the ones who are always fighting to raise the minimum wage and complain about disparity and income disparity
I would tell you that's exactly opposite, because what I want people to do is I want people to create their own wealth, not based on somebody else. I want them to be able to start their own businesses and be the business owner and not necessarily be the person who has to depend on minimum wage. The idea of minimum wage, it was never designed to support a family of four.
Right.
It was for high school kids, and now we've got people, unfortunately, in a position where they're trying to support a family of four, a single mom trying to support three kids on minimum wage. Well, it was never designed to do that.
But don't you see that there's a big problem when when there's an when the economy expands, and say the economy expands by $1, 80% of that dollar, 80 cents of that dollar, is being consolidated into the hand of that one person, into a hand of 1% of the people. Shouldn't it be more equal?
Not a problem.
It should be more equal.
No, shouldn't be a problem. Not if that one, not if that person risked their own money and their own livelihood. No, I don't mean this whole idea. I mean your idea for me, and I mean you no disrespect because we've had a great conversation thus far. So I mean no disrespect by using this example. Is that everybody gets a trophy? No.
No, we're just talking about fairness. That's what I'm talking about.
What's
fairness.
Fair is that if I risk the money, if I take the loans out. And I take the hits for insurance if there's liability. If I take the hits, then I get the majority of the money.
That's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But 80-20? 80-20, don't you think that the people, don't you think the people who made the business profitable should earn more?
It was my investment to start with.
Right, but the only reason why that you even have a business to begin with is because there's a consumer demand for it. And the consumer is the worker.
There's a consumer demand for my product. Now, if I don't do a good job, guess what? There won't be a consumer. I mean, if I'm not able to expand, do the thing I need to do, and make profit and do what I need to do, guess what? There won't be a consumer demand. And if I spend too much money on myself, buying houses and cars and airplanes, my business will fail, and I'll be broke.
Right, which my original point is if you consolidate the expansion of the economy, $1.80 of that dollar is not being trickled in, it's being held by 1%, you're no longer going to have a consumer that has money to buy your product. I mean, this goes back to the fundamentals of Henry Ford back in the early 1900s when he said, I'm going to pay the workers enough so they can buy the product that I sell. That's the fundamental of our capitalist society, is that the consumer has more money than the 1%. Back when we had a very strong middle class in the 60s, the 99% were getting 60% of the economic growth and 1% were getting 40%, which is extremely a lot of money. The problem is that they just wanted more, and that what they did is they took it off the back of the worker rather than making they wanted more profits.
Would you stop? You can't use phrases like off the back of the worker and say you're not talking about some ideological argument, because obviously that phrase says we're back to the ideological argument.
Yeah.
We're back to that argument of degree. If I risk it, then of course I deserve my profit. But now you're telling me how much profit I deserve.
I mean
this in all due respect. Who are you, or frankly anybody else, to say how much money I deserve to get?
Well, I'm just saying I don't have a problem with you being a millionaire, but when you say that the working person on the floor that made your company successful, they made your company successful, doesn't deserve a raise or a healthy portion of the profits that they helped generate by being productive and showing up to work and working hard, then that's where I have a problem.
Well, you know what? But nobody said that.
Of course they do. That's why they have those jobs.
And again, it's up to the individual business owner if they want to run their business that way. Businesses that run that way, especially smaller businesses that employ more people, well, if they run that way, they eventually fail. They fall on their own weight.
They do not fail, unfortunately. We've seen that time and time again. I mean, look at how many jobs were outsourced to low labor countries.
There are. I mean, they will eventually fail. This whole idea of forced fairness is not fair.
I look at it in a different aspect. I look at the health of the economy is but back to the original point, that it's completely false what you said, that progressives want to keep people poor, when we are the ones who always complain and try and correct the disparity in income disparity throughout this country. That's my original point.
I appreciate you recalling. I'm glad we had a great 10-minute conversation. We still disagree, but I think you're cool. So please call back at some point in the future. I really appreciate it.
I will. Thank you.
All right, peace out. Bye. All right, I'm gonna take a little break. Oh dear.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show. Here.
I'll pick you up back to school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
This entire piece of music was played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child, and that can last a lifetime. Start something today at BigBrothersBigSisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This month, we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama. And I don't think there's a better time than African American History Month to consider the tremendous progress we've made through the sacrifices of so many, or a better time to commit to meeting the very real challenges we face right now. Every day, I think of the generations of African American men and women who overcame slavery and oppression, risked their own safety to cast a ballot, even gave up their lives to help build a country that lived up to its founding principles. Their extraordinary hope their unwavering determination to change this country. Their efforts made it possible for somebody like me to be here today. This is another moment where we've got to decide what kind of country we want to be. We can either settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well, or we can build a nation where everybody gets a fair shot, everybody does their fair share, and everybody plays by the same rules. This campaign is powered by folks at every level, taking ownership where it matters most. Around the kitchen table, in barbershops and beauty salons, in your faith community, at work, or at school. And of course, in the voting booth this election day. Because we are greater together than we can ever be on our own. Visit AfricanAmericans.BarackObama.com for more information about all the ways you can get involved. From attending HBCU organizing workshops to becoming a congregation captain. And say you're ready to keep making history. Thanks, and see you out there.
You have got to be freaking kidding me. You have got to be freaking kidding me. Now, it doesn't surprise me because what people have been saying about President Obama is that he's taking the black vote for granted. He can do this, and all this is an answer to that. Saying, "Oh no, I'm not. We opened a website." Yeah, you spent $8 to open a damn website. Thanks, man. Nice job. Listen, are you kidding me? And again, what we were talking about with my first caller. Here's the deal. If Ron Paul opened up a site that said Mexicans for Ron Paul, if he said white people for Ron Paul, Italian Americans for Mitt Romney, Greek Americans for Rick Santorum, people would be freaking losing their damn mind, and you know it. This is what I'm saying. We act like children sometimes when we say, "Oh no, this is okay for us, but it's not okay for you." Well, you know what? Life doesn't work that way. And this is, I'm telling you, this is black people getting punked again by Barack Obama. This is black people getting punked one more time. Because you know what, and here it is. You know, like I know, Barack Obama hasn't done a damn thing for the black community. He hasn't done any more than for the American black community than George Bush did, than Bill Clinton did, than Ronald Reagan did, than Jimmy Carter did. Black people are still living in abject poverty in a land that is full of bounty. Still, black people still, by a percentage, by per capita, there are more black youth in jail than in any other social group that exists. Still, ain't a damn thing improved in the hood. Ain't nothing different in the hood now than it was 3 years ago. Nothing. And this is amazing, where Barack Obama, after kicking the after doing his best to kick the Catholic Church right in the teeth, says, "You know what? Faith captains. What the hell is a faith captain? That's people organizing churches to support the Barack Obama campaign from the pulpit. I got a message from a friend of mine on Sunday afternoon saying that's exactly what his pastor was doing. He goes to a predominantly black church. That's exactly what his pastor was doing, trying to organize his church for Barack Obama. Although in the media, if a Catholic bishop, if a Catholic priest tried to do the very same thing, then we got the ne'er-do-well screaming, oh no, it's your church is dead. You can't do that. You can't talk about that and keep your tax-exempt status. Well, Barack Obama is trying to organize churches to do just that, to campaign for him in their church. What the hell? Folks, I've said on this show, I've been saying on this show for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, if you think that this thing is over, that Barack Obama is going to not be president in 2013 just because, well, he's not been a very good president in my estimation, then you are wrong. Then you're a punk. if you think that that people are going to still buy the same old tired arguments, the same old tired things you've been saying, just because hell, they happen to be true, and people are going to buy off on them and go with them, then you're out your damn mind. You are out of your mind. That ain't how it works. That's not how it works in the real world. Here's how it works in the real world. Barack Obama comes out with a video that gets played in every damn black church in this country, and people get frothy again, get frothy at the mouth and get all excited about a Barack Obama being president because the idea is, no, white people are trying to take his job. No, white people are trying to make it. No, white people don't. The facts are that without white folks, there'd be no freaking Barack Obama, y'all. Just saying. The math don't work out. The math doesn't work out. And not all the white people who voted for Barack Obama last time decided that they would all join the freaking Klan over the weekend. And now they hate Barack Obama. That ain't what's happened. Barack Obama has failed on his promises to white folks, too. Not just to the promises that he never made to black people, but some of his other promises he's failed at, and people are doing this. They're calling him at his word. That's all.
In those states, the president is tied with Mitt Romney, 44% each. And Rick Santorum actually beats Mr. Obama 47-46. Very good news for the Senate. Joining us now from Charlottesville, Dr. Larry Sabato, director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, from Asbury Park, New Jersey, pollster Scott Rasmussen, author of the book, The People's Money. First of all, Scott.
All right. Now, that was a little clip from, obviously, that was Bill O'Reilly. The president seems to be struggling in those states, but this kind of ad will make sure that he doesn't. This sort of thing, and it's just an ad. It's full of all of the catchphrases. It's full of all of the catch thoughts. That's where, that's what we're talking about. So here's the deal. We've only got a few minutes left in the show. It's kind of been an interesting show. We've kind of done this a little different way. We're going to get back to our regular format tomorrow, no doubt. But here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to be punked, is that you better support a candidate, and whoever gets picked in Tampa, you better damn well support them, and you better damn well get enthusiastic about it, and you better damn well be able to go out there and tell and speak truth to power, and you better damn well not be afraid to offend by saying truth. You better be ready to defend your country and the republic by telling truth. You better not be intimidated, no matter where you live. You better be able to go ahead and put that sign out in your front yard. You better be able to be ready to support local candidates, local conservative candidates to control your communities, because you can't freaking take back your country if your community is out of control, if your hometown's out of control, if your state's out of control. Where if you, like in Florida, where it's, you know, you can... A 16-year-old girl can get an abortion and not tell her parents, but she can't get a freaking tattoo. You know, things are a little upside down. You better be ready to get active. You better be ready to get active today. You better be ready to do something special today. Because the forces that would turn this country into what my second caller wants, a more, quote, fair, unquote, place. From you and give to other people because they were there, because they worked, because they did what they were supposed to do. And they obviously, because of that, deserve more of your money, deserve more because they were there. It's that, I said, idea, because you were there, everybody gets a trophy. And if that's the kind of place you want to live in, well, very good, because that's the kind of place that's coming. That's the kind of place that's coming to your town. So you better be ready. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow with more coming up to show your mobile video and mention up with your network. You know what? It's time to pass. Time. All right. Yes, up there, up somebody.